for all things are possible. Only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we truly believe with all that lays within us that all things are possible now that you're here. And Father, we ask that you would help our unbelief as the man said in the Bible, he said, Lord, he said, help thou my unbelief. And Father, we know that, Lord, we don't believe as we ought to believe. Somehow we get ourselves in the way. And so, Father, we ask for that great gift, which is to get ourselves out of the way, that truly we might believe as you believe. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this evening I would like to speak from paragraphs 20 and 21 of Brother Bram's sermon. The spoken word is the original seed, and if we would, let's all just stand to our feet again in honor of his word, because we're going to begin reading from paragraph 20, but then we're going to go into the scripture and take Brother Branham's text from Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 through verse 11. So he says now, I want to open, right in here, he's showing me the different mics to use. There's such a bunch of them here this morning, I don't know which one to start on. Now, let us turn to the scripture. I'm going to start in Genesis, and I wind up tonight in Revelations. I believe the word. Genesis beginning with the first chapter, I wish to read a portion of the word. And now if somebody would want someone to got your pencils and papers and so forth, because I've got many scriptures, and I want to keep reading all the time on these scriptures. And so Brother Branham begins to take for his text, and if you'd open your Bibles, if we might, from Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided light from the darkness. Now, before we go any further here, I just want you to notice, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So God did the creating. And notice it says the earth was without form. That means if it was without form, it didn't have a physical existence at this time, but it was in the mind of God. And if it was void, it says it was without form and it was void. Now the word void there comes from a Hebrew word which means basically like a big vacuum. There was nothing there. Like Brother Bram said, before there was any atom to make an atom. So the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the waters there is another word which speaks of the deep, like an abyss. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good. And God divided light from the darkness. Now, we've taken studies on this before and shown you that this was not the sun or the moon. It wasn't the stars, because in verses 13 to 14, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. So I believe, I say this because I'm basing it on a vindicated prophet that said that the light that went out from God was the Logos, which was a part of God. And I believe the very first time God spoke, that Logos came forth. And then through that Logos, God began to bring forth all things in creation. As the Bible says in Colossians, that he was by him and through him, all things are created. And so we find then that God created all things through his Son. But notice here, it says that the earth was without form. So at this time that God spoke, there was no earth in a physical form. It was still in his mind. Just like there was no lamb slain in a physical form, but it was in the mind of God. The lamb slain was before the foundations of the world. And it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, or the face of the abyss. So we have a period, or we have an existence here, as I said, when Brother Vail gave me his notes on the Logos years ago, He said, you know, when God said, let there be horse, there was horse, but it was a spirit horse. It was not yet a physical horse. In chapter 2 of Genesis, then God began to clothe these things. Now, I'd like to stop here and also add that the first time God speaks here, notice he says, and God saw the light and it was good, and God divided light from darkness. So the very first time God spoke, a division took place. Separation. Light from darkness. Now keep that in mind, because life is manifested by division upon division upon division. You cannot multiply cells without first dividing them. Now let's continue. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now I want you to notice here then that the second time God speaks, a division took place. And the waters from above were separated from the waters from below. Now, there is a principle that is showing itself here. Every time God speaks, a division is a natural outcome. So division or separation is not a bad thing. Each time God turns a corner, some keep going straight ahead, while others who take the corner are separated from the masses who continue going straight ahead. You see, Brother Bram said, we're building a building here, not just a brick wall, not just a straight wall. And so every time God turns a corner, many people, the majority of the people are left behind. And those that are watching, as we said last week, if you're walking in the light as he is in the light, present tense, not if you're walking in the light as he was in the light in 1965. Not if you're walking in the light as he was in the light in 33 AD, you see. But if you're walking in the light as he is in the light in 2008, then when God turns the corner, you turn with him. So each time the path splits, we must make sure that we're following the pillar of fire, that we're on the right path. For as a Roman candle, the light goes out, and then out of one flare comes another. And then out of that comes another. And then out of that comes another. And notice, this is the way that Brother Branham explained the process of the word to us. So you may be seated at this time. Now, from the Church Age book, A Revelation of Jesus Christ, from the introduction, he says, though this volume will concern itself with various major doctrines such as the Godhead, water baptism, etc., found in Revelation chapters 1 through 3, its main theme is a setting forth of a detailed study of the seven church ages. This is necessary in order to study and understand the rest of Revelation, for out of the ages come the seals. Now think about this. Out of the church ages came the seals. The first burst of the Roman candle. Like the first burst of the Roman candle, the church ages comes forth with a mighty initial illumination without which there could be no further light. But once the brilliance of the seven church ages is given by divine revelation, light upon light follows until the whole of the revelation opens wide before our wondering eyes, and we, edified and purified by the Spirit, are made ready for his glorious appearing, even our Lord and Savior, the one true God, Jesus Christ. So you see that we pointed out last week, that God has not left us. The pillar of fire is still on the scene. Brother Branham said in the third Exodus, he said, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. Now I realize there's many people in the message today, or claim to be in the message, who are preaching that we're in the millennium. Well, if this is the millennium, then I just have several questions. Number one, when do the bodies raise from the dead? You see, there are people trying to claim that Joseph Branham died and he's raised from the dead. Well, where do you get that evidence from? And what about you? What about a body change? You see, because they know not the doctrine of Christ. They know not the day and the hour in which they live. With a mental, intellectual conception, they can take the message and wrest it to their own destruction. And that's what actually Peter said about the people would take Paul's words and wrestle them to their own destruction. So the pillar of fire is still on the scene. And I realize many who follow Brother Branham's message are claiming that pillar of fire to be in their camp. So I'll have to be careful on how we make our statements about following that pillar of fire. But let me say that anyone outside the doctrine of Christ does not have God. That's the scripture. So that in itself eliminates all those camps who claim to be following the pillar of fire and yet deny the doctrine that William Branham set forth, the doctrine of Christ. Because the pillar of fire is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. His words would fail. You're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Now then, what about all who claim to believe the doctrine? Well, I can't speak for all who claim to believe the doctrine. I can only speak for how I see it. I believe that we must see Jesus Christ the same in every detail except the corporal body in this hour. And that we must see that Alpha repeats itself in Omega. Now, I know that many who followed Brother Vail's ministry also believe the Alpha has repeated itself in the Omega, because that is what he taught as a Bible principle for us in this hour. But how many of them are looking beyond the Alpha and Omega between Paul's ministry and William Branham's ministry? How many believe that everything else that happened in Omega, in the Alpha, must repeat in the Omega? You see? Because if Alpha repeats in Omega, we haven't had a resurrection yet. Amen? So we have a time of resurrection that's on its way. We have a ministry during that resurrection on its way. You see? We have the pillar of fire and a teaching ministry. Amen. Now I believe that we must see Jesus Christ the same in every detail except the corporal body, as Alpha must repeat in Omega. And I know that many, as I said, who follow Brother Vail's teaching, they accept the Alpha and Omega principle. But are they seeing Alpha and Omega for 2008? Or are they looking back at 20 years ago? Or are they looking back further at 45 years ago? But what I want us to be very careful about is that we do not miss the corner as God continues to unfold for us further light upon those truths and principles. Because as we pointed out last week, Brother Branham said the church must see it in the present tense or it is lost. So the light comes out of light until further light helps us to see more clearly than we could initially see under the first light or the second light of that Roman candle. Now let me further elucidate so as to be more clear as to what I'm saying. Out of Luther's message came Wesley's message. And in fact, Wesley could not get off ground zero until Aldersgate took place, where he was introduced to Luther's message at Aldersgate. Then from that light went forth further light. And in 1906, the Pentecostal light of the world, being manifested in the flesh, led way to the Holy Spirit to come down. You see, justification, Luther, made a way for sanctification, Wesley. Sanctification under Wesley made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost himself to come down in perfection. And led away for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in men led away for the Holy Spirit himself to come in and use a man. You see, bringing a full Alpha and Omega coming together. Now, but then when God took his prophet off the scene, the pillar of fire remained on the scene in a teaching ministry. Now that ministry did not end when Brother Vail took himself out of the pulpit. In fact, he hasn't taken himself out yet. He has at least one message left. The Holy Spirit is a teacher, though. And as Brother Vail told me, he said, Brian, people are saying that when my ministry is over, that there will be no more teaching. But they're wrong. He said, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. So the light continues to go out, one from the other, to the other, to the other, to the other, until the Holy Spirit will leave the midst of humanity. Because God still uses people. So we're looking then at this division that comes via the Word of God being spoken. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. Excuse me. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters he called the sea, and God saw that it was good. Now to this point, we see that God has spoken twice, and division has taken place both times that God has spoken. Yet to God, that division, he called a gathering together of like unto like. So in essence, the division comes from the light, as one light goes forth from the first light, and the other light comes out of it. This, in a way, is like a seed of God going forth first in Adam. And then out of Adam came forth Seth. And then out of Seth came forth Enos. And out of Enos came forth Canaan, etc. So this division that comes forth each time God speaks is an expression of the life that is in the Word. For in order for life to multiply, the cells must first divide themselves, and thus by dividing, they are actually multiplying. In fact, that is how you check any division problem in mathematics, is by multiplying the answer against the divisor. And the same is true with life. Take the life that is being produced and look at the characteristics of that divisor, and by multiplying that divisor against the product, you come back to the beginning. You see whose source it is, whose seed it is. You see? In other words, you can trace the life back to its origin through a right division of its attributes and characteristics. And by rightly dividing the Word of God, you release the life that's in the seed or in that word. Now let's see if this is correct or not. And don't forget that we're still reading from Brother Branham's text here. So we pick up at Genesis 1 and verse 11 as Brother Branham continues. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs and seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs and yielded seed after its kind. And the trees yielded fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, how did the seed bring forth after its kind? Which means after its own nature. How did that happen? By division. By splitting the cells. And thus multiplying. The life from one becomes two. The life from two becomes four. The life from four becomes eight. And as those cells are multiplied, they can't multiply unless there's division first. You see? That's a principle of life. Notice that Peter tells us the same thing in 2 Peter 1 and verse 2, if you follow me with your Bibles. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now notice then that Peter is talking about grace and peace being multiplied through the knowledge of God, and we know and is a conjunction, and we know a conjunction links or conjoins two things. So he's talking about the knowledge of God and his Son. And he tells us that that is how grace and peace are multiplied. Then he says, verse 3, according as his divine power. So what we ask, we have two words here, divine and power. The word divine simply means God. And power, what's power? Well, in Romans 1, verse 18, he says that the word of God is the power of God. So notice then, by his divine word, he hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So if we're talking about the spoken word is the original seed, and we're talking about God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. And every seed must bring forth after its kind. Then if you are a seed of God, a child of God, you have to be Word. You see? And you have to be Word coming off from the original tree. Or the original seed. Because remember, when the sower went forth sowing seed, it's called the Word of God. Okay? Now notice then that Peter is talking about grace and peace being multiplied through the knowledge of God. And he says, according as his divine power, that's his word. So we see that then that God's power is what? It hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness or godlikeness. And notice, life and godlikeness comes through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So what is this glory? It's the word doxa. And it speaks of the opinion, value, and judgment of God. And what is this word virtue? It is translated as the word praise. So it speaks of what we say. Then how do we add to God's opinion? God's values, God's judgments? By saying the same thing that he said. We add to your glory praise. Then notice the next verse. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Oof. Now what are promises? Promises are words. If I give you my word, I'm making you a promise. So he tells us that we are given exceeding a great and precious word, that by these, by what? These promises, this word, you might be made partakers of the divine nature. That's why in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, we read, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we see how the new birth comes through the word of God. Notice that you might be partakers of the divine nature, the God nature. And what is the divine nature? It's God's own nature. Every seed after its own kind. You receive his word, and his word is a seed that the Son of Man came sowing. And receiving the very eternal life that is in his own word, we then, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, then notice it is by receiving God's very own doxa, his very own word, that we receive the very nature of God himself. Thus we escape the corruption. I love this. And beside this, he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Add to your revelation praise. In other words, add to your revelation a giving back to God what he's already given to you. Now, I know we usually speak of this word virtue as meaning strength, for the word means manly, but it also means praise. And the only other time that it's translated in the scripture besides translated as virtue is in 1 Peter 2 and 9, where it is translated as praise. Therefore, we see in Hebrews 13 and 5, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And as Jesus said, the only things I speak to them are things that God commanded me what to say. Brother Branham said, the bride will have, thus saith the Lord, or she'll keep still. Now, in getting back to Brother Branham's sermon, we pick up paragraph 21. He says, now, I want to begin this morning with my text to use this. The spoken word is the original seed. Now, that's what I wish to lay the text on. The spoken word is the original seed. Now, if you notice, God said, let it bring forth of its in his kind. Whatever it was, it must be brought forth in his kind. I want to stop here because I want to focus. I want to focus more on what he's saying here. That every seed must bring forth after its kind, after its likeness, after its nature. Now we saw in 1 Peter that he said, you know, through grace and peace are multiplied, you know, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. And he says, and by God's divine promise, we're given everything that pertains to life, even divine nature. Now Brother Branham said that Jesus had gotten himself out of the way so much until all you saw was God's reflection in him. I want you to think about this. In Isaiah 42, verse 19, we read, who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect and blind as the Lord's servant? Jesus was blind to everything except what God showed him. He was deaf to every influence except what God's word spoke. Now, most people would read this and say, who is blind but my servant? Well, what kind of a servant would you want? A blind servant? Well, let me tell you something. When I was over in the Philippines and I came down with African sleeping sickness, and every bone in my body ached. Every muscle, every joint was painful. And I'd given away all my aspirin and medication to the churches while I was there. Had nothing to take. So while we're waiting for the airplane, I knew I had another 30 hours to get home. The brother said, well, you know, there's some masseuses here, right out here in the lobby. You know, they're in the mall. They're blind. But he said, these people can, you know, they can massage your neck, your arms, your shoulders. And, you know, I sat there while they did that. And for the next half a day, I had no pain. I could feel nothing. It was wonderful. But who would have a blind servant? Who would have a deaf servant? Who would have a deaf and blind servant? Who is perfect but God? Perfect because he was blind to everything but what God wanted him to see. If we could just be blind to everything but what God wants us to see, and deaf to every influence, every voice, but the voice of God. From the rising of the sun, Brother Ram said, we don't try to be some big person. We don't care what the people say about us. Our name ain't nothing. It's His name. Our life is nothing. It's His life. It's His power, not our power. And there's only one thing that we love to do is see Him glorified. And how can it be? When He's glorified in us by His resurrection that's in us. We see Him represented again as He was today. Did you get that? We see, you see, our desire is not to be glorified. Our desire is not to be some big name. Our desire is not to boost some church or make more in the Sunday school or try to bring in hog tie, push in, offer picnic party, or bring stars or buttons or something else like that. That's not our desire. Our desire is to see Him glorified. Glorify what? Not with self-pride, but in us, our lives, to prove that He is alive and living in us. If I can get myself out of the way so when William Branham not even thought of, and you not even thought of, till we can see Jesus glorified among us, see Him, that's our desire. That gives us the quickening power, and it gives us joy to know that we are with Him, both flesh and bone of Him, being the bride of Him, and seeing His same vindicated methods, proving in us that He is now risen from the dead. See, no wonder He said, fear not. You see what Brother Branham was saying? Every seed after its own kind. The very nature of God expressing itself through you. From broken cisterns, he said, you don't use the Holy Spirit. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit uses you. See? You see? You're not to use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's got you. A gift is not something you take like a knife and sharpen a pencil with it. It's yielding yourself to God and getting yourself out of the way so the Holy Spirit can use you. From lean not unto thine own understanding, Brother Branham said. It's like I said, a gift is not something that's like you take a knife and if you want to cut this with it, you can cut it. Or you cut this and you cut it. Or whatever you want to do. That's not a gift of God, see? No, a gift of God is some way that you have of getting yourself out of the way. And gifts and callings are the predestination of God. Gifts and callings are even without repentance. You're born with a little gear that you pull yourself over in. But you cannot step on the pedal. See, God has to operate it. You have to get yourself out of the way. Your faith can operate it, not mine, yours. Mine just takes it out of the way. You believe with all your heart that Jesus lives today. From the paradox, he said, a gift of faith is not something that you take and do something with. A gift of faith is you just get yourself out of the way. The gift is getting yourself out of the way. So if you're praying that God would gift you, then you're praying that God would help you to die out to self. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I've gotten myself out of the way. I've died. I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, being poured out like a drink offering. From proving his word, Brother Branham said, now to heal, I cannot. You know that. What is a gift, Brother Branham? Something you take and... No. It's something you know how to get yourself out of the way, see? As long as you're there, it'll never work. William Branham is the greatest enemy that I've got. See? But when I get him out of the way, see, then Jesus Christ can use the body. From anointed ones at the end time, now I want you to know this is sure, and you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. I have no more to do with it than nothing, no more than just a voice, and my voice, even against my better judgment, because I wanted to be a trapper. That was my will. Jesus said, Father, my will is you take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do and am determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to that he spoke through. It isn't me. He wasn't the seventh angel. Oh no, it was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. If you haven't fed fully on every word to give you yourself strength to fly over all these denominations and things of the world, will you at this time do it while we pray? And from the true Easter seal, Brother Branham said, I'm a stranger to you. I don't know you. All right. You just see if he's still the high priest that can be touched by the feeling of your infirmity. I never seen you in my life. You're a stranger to me. I know nothing about you. God does know you. And he can reveal to me by his Holy Spirit the resurrected Christ who come here and give me a temporary resurrection by my spirit, that my spirit goes away now and his spirit comes in. Then to let you know whether he's alive or not. Now, I don't know you. That's me. Me and my spirit. We don't know you. But he knows you. But he wants to borrow my body to prove that he's a resurrected Christ. I'm so happy to loan it to him, to give it to him, anything that he can get out of it. Now, what am I talking about here? Every seed after its kind. What is the manifestation of the Son of God? Or what is the manifestation of the sons of God? It's manifesting as the Son of God did. God wants to use your body to express himself to the world, to that portion of the world where you go, those people you deal with. Are you going to loan it to him? Or are you going to try to control the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Or are you going to get out of the way so he can take your body, use it, borrow your body, express himself through your body? On the wings of a snow-white dove, Brother Branham said, now, what God is showing him here is this. On these sacrifices is speaking of Christ. That's how God took Jesus to Calvary and tore him apart and received the body up into heaven and sent the Spirit down upon us. That same Spirit that was upon him has to be on you to dovetail with the body to be the bride at the end time. See, that's right. See, won't be a denomination now, it'll be the Word, what he was, see. But like that Word has to come to Word, like cell in a human being, you know, when your body's being built, it isn't one cell of human, next of a dog, next of a pig, oh no, it's all human cell. That's the way the body of Christ is, all the Word of God, not just a part of it, some tradition added to it, no, it's all the body of Christ. Every seed after its kind. What life is expressing in you? The human you that needs to be killed out? Or the Son of God that was in Christ before the foundations of the world? What is your vessel expressing? Have you died out to self? Or have you died out to the Holy Ghost? Whose will are you following? Your will or his will? Hebrews chapter 3, Brother Branham said, and Isaiah said in the 20th chapter, it must be line upon line, here a little, there a little. Hold fast to that what's good. See? There's the way it comes, line upon line, word upon word, scripture upon scripture. It must all compile together. That's why I think in these lessons like we're having now, it's a great thing to the church because it brings them to a place that all of the scriptures tie together. And our experience must tie with the scripture. Oh, here it is. If it doesn't, then it's wrong. And from identification. But when he's seen that his creation had fallen, now his own loving character molded himself into the person of Christ. God's own character of love projected himself in the man, Christ. As Paul speaking here, thinking it not robbery, by making himself equal to God, rather. See, his own character molded that kind of a person. And no one could ever do that but God. See, God borrowed the body of Jesus. Therefore, Jesus thought it not robbery to be the same person. That's why when they said, they were talking about show us the Father, and Brother Brown said, see, you're looking at me, aren't you? The self-same person. That's why he said he did more in my ministry than he did in his own. Who did? The Spirit of Christ. Now from Christ is identified, Brother Bram said, he was the manifestation of God. He was God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He was expressing what the Father was in himself. He said, I do always that which pleases the Father, and I and the Father are one. The Father dwells in me. When you see me, you've seen the Father. In other words, he expressed God. The Spirit so much in him that he and the Father, it wasn't robbery for him to be the same person. Why do you think the oneness are so confused? Why do you think there's a deity spirit in the message where they believe Brother Branham was God? Because he was so yielded to God that he thought it not robbery to be the same person. The same expression. From investments, Jesus Christ was the expressed image of God. He was the what God, through his power, projected. A body which is called Son because he was a man. And he come from God. And he was so committed to God till he didn't think it robbery that him and God being the same person. So committed to God. And they were. Because God was the Word and he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. And there's where God could take his Word without anything, without any interruption. He was constantly doing what the Father wanted done. And there the Word could work through him. There. I want you to think about this. Brother Branham said, and there's where God could take his word without anything, without any interruption. Can he do the same with you? What interruptions do you have in your flesh that is not allowing God to manifest through you? Make a list. We all talk about how we want to be in the image of Christ. Make a list. Where God's using me, how God is expressing himself through me, and where he's not. Put the list in your wallet. Look at the list daily. Because you can change. Because he's caused us to change. He's given us a mind that's willing to repent. And repent means to change your thinking. Or do you want to just keep on keeping on? Do you have purpose in your life? A plan for your life? Is the purpose and plan of your life the same purpose and plan God has for your life? Where there's a difference, let go. Let God. And there's where God could take his word without anything, without any interruption. God, can you take my flesh and use it without any interruption? We've all got weaknesses. I know mine. You should know yours. You need to write that thing down. You need to look at it every day. That's the thing that you need to get out of the way. He was constantly doing what the Father wanted done. And there the Word could work through him there. Till him and the Father was one. That's what. And then he took that perfect life and all of our sins and placed it upon that perfect life. And he died that we renegades could die to ourselves. And be born of above. And his Word could work through us the works of God. Father, I pray that they might be one with you and I, even as you and I are one. That was his prayer. From Shalom, Brother Bram said, Jesus, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. See, in other words, God was identified. The person of God was identified in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was the expressed image of God. Or God expressing himself through an image. See, through an image, a man. God expressed himself to us. And he was God, not a third person, second person. He was the person God. He was God himself, identifying himself so we could feel him. We could handle him. As I was with Moses, Brother Bram said, when Jesus of Nazareth, I believed that the Father was in him, that all the great things that was the Father, that was the Father's, was given unto the Son. All the great blessings and gifts, for he was just expressed image of the Father. And in him dwelled all the richness of God dwelling in him here. Looking up. And he said, and my Father are one. My Father dwelleth in me. Just as Jehovah was, Jesus was. So was the expressed image of him. He was God shaped out here. And all the power of God formed into and put into a human being, a human body. And he said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Now from the Amplified Version, Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 5. In many separate revelations, each of which are set forth a portion of the truth. And in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. But in the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of his Son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and whom and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. That is, he made, he produced, he built, he operated, he arranged them in order. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the opinion, the assessment, the judgment of God. He is the light being, the outraying of the divine. And he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding, maintaining, guiding, and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, taking a place and rank by which he himself became as much superior to angels as the glorious name which he has inherited is different from and more excellent than theirs. For which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you, and again I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. So obedient until God expressed his own character to the world through him. From belief from the heart, Brother Bram said, Jesus was a witness of God. He became so full of God till him and God was one. God dwelt in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, the very expression. A man's work declares his character. Christ was God's work. And Christ declared God's character. His feeling for the sick. His longing for saving of souls. Till even he gave his own life. God's work, God's character was declared in Christ. Therefore, we see that he was the very expression of God. This first light that God brought forth was the Logos, which was a part of God, coming forth into an expression which God called his Son. And then through this expression or expressed word or manifested word, God brought forth all creation. In Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And from Sirs, we would see Jesus, Brother Branham said, now Jesus was born for one purpose, and that was for God to manifest himself through that body. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He was a body that was made physical, that men and women could see what he thought and his expressions to the people in his gratefulness. And his attitude towards all mankind, he expressed it through Christ. Christ seemed to be a dual personality. He would speak sometimes and they scratched their head and they didn't understand him. He speak one thing one time, it looked like, and something else another time. What it was Jesus speaking and then Christ speaking. Jesus was the man. Christ was the God that was in him. Not me that doeth the works, my Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. See, God will not share his glory with no one. But he'll manifest it through. From harvest time, he said, Jesus said, that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. Not for some man to be over something, it never will work. One denomination wants to take over the other, one man over the other. But that you might be one with God, like Christ and God was one. That's what the prayer is. That he was the Word, and Jesus prayed that we might be the Word, reflecting him. That's his prayer to be answered. See how Satan scruples that up in the carnal mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all, that we all might congregate together and all have a certain creed and so forth. Every time we do that, they go further and further away from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God. You see, God wants to borrow your body. He wants to live in your body. He wants to express himself in your body. He wants to manifest the sons of God in the same image, the same conformity to the eldest son. In John chapter 17, verse 11, Jesus praying, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And how is it that we all might be one, even as," which means in the same manner as Jesus and his Father were one? Jesus said, verse 14, "I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Jesus tells us that we become one with God through the same word that he became one with God. Verse 20, Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory, the doxa, your opinion, your values, your judgments, which you gave to me, I have given to them, for the purpose that they might be one, even as we are one. Therefore, it is very evident that we are one by receiving the same word, which brings us into the same glory, the same mind as the Father. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word, your word. We thank you for the opportunity to manifest you, Father. Because you said that when you appear, we shall be like you, for we will see you as you truly are. You said, we are now sons, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when you shall appear, when you shall phaneroo, when you shall manifest in your true character, then shall we manifest in our true character. So, Father, we pray that your word, which is your spirit, would take a hold of our vessels, and that our vessels would be totally committed to loaning our vessel to you, that you might take it and use it in whatever way you see fit, Father, for thy glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We could have the brothers bring forth the elements at this time.